hymn number 474, At Calvary. Hymn number 477. Pray for us, please.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank you, Lord, that we're allowed to come to your house this morning tonight. We're thankful for the faith that you've given us, and we're thankful, Lord, for your word. And what is found only tonight, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to sing hymns of praise to you. And Lord, we just
amen. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Welcome back to Morrow Bible Church this evening. And we're so glad to have you back with us. We just thank Isaac Wiley on the piano this evening and for Ben for leading us this morning. First time this morning that he's led during the morning service. So we just thank him for that. And we praise the Lord that he's able to do that for us. And also this evening. Once again, we have Pastor Bailey here sitting in for Pastor Gausman, and who would have been here, and for Pastor Howard. And we just thank him for coming up to share the gospel with us and share the Word of God. And we praise him for doing that, and we thank the Lord for that. And so just a little bit of reiteration about the announcements. I think everybody's here, probably heard me this morning say the same things, but just a kind of a reminder, once again, Wednesday evening service is at 7 o'clock. And there will be an elders meeting the 17th of August. It's coming up right away. And Sunday School Promotion Sunday on September 5th. That's right around the corner. And the ladies' weekend fall retreat is September 10th and 11th. And I forgot to mention this morning, this week will also be Pearl Howard's birthday. I think I skipped over her this morning. So happy birthday to Pearl this week, and or August 20th, that is. I guess that's not this coming week, is it? So we're just thankful to be here this evening and thankful to hear the message from Pastor Bailey this morning concerning our great example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just am thankful that God is able to for me to share this past week with one of my neighbors. And he is seeking the Lord, and so his name is Ryan. And we would pray for him that him and his family and his mom and dad can come to know the Lord. So we're just thankful that the Lord opened that opportunity up for us to witness to him. And so do we have any other prayer requests or testimonies tonight? Anybody have anything to share this evening? Yes. Yes, Mr. Ray is with us this evening. We just thank the Lord and give him recovery today. And so glad that he's with us. Anybody else? Yes.
I did speak with Pastor God for the day, and he told me, he said, you can hear that in the background.
So, Pastor Gosman, Norm Miller has reminded us about Pastor Gosman and Bev. They're really sick this week. He had contact with them today, and so we would just want to bathe them in prayer to the Lord that his healing hand would be upon them. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Scott. All right. So Rhonda Lanham's traveling today and tomorrow, you see?
Today.
Yeah, she'll come back tomorrow. Becky?
I was just going to mention Laura's going to travel out west this week, our daughter.
Right. Our daughter has a big trip out Midwest this week, and so she'll be by herself and going to a special photography thing. I'm not exactly sure what it is exactly. But anytime she goes away like that, we are, you know, parents are very worried that, you know, about, but we know the Lord is in charge. So, anybody else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we just bow before your throne, and we just acknowledge how much we need you, and we just thank you for bringing us here tonight and together that we may hear your word. And we pray for those ones that are not with us tonight. We just think about Pastor and Bev, and we pray your healing hand upon them. We thank you for them. We thank you for their ministry here with us, and we just pray for them, and that you would raise them up. Father, we just thank you for Pastor Howard and his family as he's away visiting family. Pray for their safety. We just thank you for them. Father, we pray for Rhonda as she travels and give her safety. We thank you for her. And thank you for Al, that he came with us tonight and come back to us and is able to be here tonight. And we pray for our daughter Laura as she travels this week. Father, we pray your blessings on Pastor Bailey as he brings the message this evening. We pray for his travels back, and we pray for his travels through the week, that you would protect him and give him safe journey. And we thank you for his testimony. We thank thank you for the Holy Spirit has lifted him up and enabled him to speak boldly for your gospel. And Father, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us up this evening and let us have a special portion of your Spirit that we may glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Next song.
All right, our next hymn will be hymn number 229, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. And let's stand to sing hymn 229. Mr. Bailey, if you come and give the message.
While Pastor Bailey's coming up here, I'll just say a couple words. We were able to spend a little bit of time with him this morning or this afternoon, and we just appreciate that time that we were able to spend with him. He has many, many stories to tell, and so we hope we didn't cut his voice too short tonight. And so we just thank the Lord for him. And we pray you do well this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This family put up with me. I apologize that my voice is not its usual self. I don't think I have any ailment or sickness, but probably a lack of sleep might be an explanation. But I thank the family, they were kind to me, fed me a good meal. I'd recommend that as a family restaurant. I guess I don't apologize for not following my outline this morning. Tonight I'll try to do a little better and stick with it. But there are times, I guess, when I just seem like maybe I need to take a different path. And I just start talking. I'm pretty good at talking, and usually my voice doesn't sound, to me it sounds awful. Maybe it sounds that way to you also. So I apologize for that. If you give me another chance sometime, well, maybe I'll have recovered and it'll be better. But I was always proud of the fact that I had a strong voice. I know at Calvary, whenever I spoke or whenever I prayed, they never had trouble hearing me. And I am now hard of hearing. It's amazing what happens when you turn 86 years old or 85 or 4 or 3 or 2. I think it all started some time back. But some of the parts just don't work as well, do they? And I've got some of those. But I've said this, that when people start treating me like an 86-year-old man, I hope the Lord takes me home. Because I'm an independent hillbilly, and I don't like getting weaker. I still have pretty good strength. I still walk and exercise, and I'll do that probably till the day I die. But I enjoy being, and I mean this. I know I said it this morning, but I do. I enjoy this church. It's a country church, and I was raised. Didn't go to the big city of Lima until I was about 11 years old or 12. My wife was a city girl. She enjoyed Columbus, I think, more than I did. You say, well, why did you come there? Well, I had a job offer at the 500 Institute of Ohio, and that's why we came. But I appreciate this local assembly. And it's been a while since I've been here, but I enjoy every time I come. You're good folks, and I appreciate that. Have you noticed there's a lot of panic that's been going around the country? I think the first time I went to the grocery, I couldn't believe it. I go to Meijer's there on Route 23. Judy and I had gone there for years. We drove out of our way, but the one we'd gone to at Cleveland Avenue, I don't know what was going on there, but it seemed like everybody was mad. And there was even a cashier that moved out to this Meijer store in 23 when we went out there, and she agreed with what I said, and I guess she was glad to get out of there also. I don't know anything, reason why, but I just continued going. It'll be 9 years come October. I'm going by myself now, but Judy and I went there together for a long time. I know the store, and I've gotten to know some of the people. I don't know their names, but you know, I know who they are, and I know who I am. But I couldn't believe the crowds, and I couldn't believe the empty shelves either. And some of you maybe had that experience when you went to the grocery. I guess I'm amazed that there's still as much panic as there is. You folks all seem normal. Now, I don't think any of you have a mask on. I've got them in the car, and sometimes I'll have one in the pocket just in case. I've been tested 3 times in the last couple of months, and I've been negative every time. But one was for a stress test. One was for probably when I was in the hospital with this little thing on top of my head here. I can't remember the other one. But I guess I can't believe the panic that, and some people are scared to death. Am I weird, or have I interpreted something incorrectly? But have you noticed the same thing? It's not that we shouldn't be careful. I agree. But I don't agree with all the decisions that have been made about what we should or should not do. Closing down the business world. I don't understand that. Oh, well, we're trying to prevent the spread of this thing. I think I've heard about herd immunity a long time ago. But that wasn't allowed to happen, really. That's not what I'm speaking about tonight. But I'm just thinking off the top of my head. And the thing I want to talk tonight about, our blessed hope. And what is your hope? Is your hope in the coming of the Lord? If it is, that's a good place to put it. Now, a lot of people have predicted the time of Christ's coming, and they've all been wrong. William Ashbrook, who was the first pastor at Calvary Bible Church in Columbus, and actually, I hate to say he started the church, because you don't do that without people. And I think he would agree with his funeral was in 1977. He thought he would be alive to see the Lord come. Well, that wasn't true. And I hesitate to say, some people are saying now that we're in the last days. Well, we've been in the last, there's the last days, and there's the last days of the last days. And I don't know. I do not know. I'm not smart enough as I look around, I see that maybe there are things that are happening and building that could lead to some things that I think maybe have some description in Scripture. You may agree with that. You may not agree with it. But I don't know that for a fact. When is Jesus coming? Perhaps today. M.R.D. Hahn had on his desk a little plaque that said, perhaps today. He was looking for the Lord every day. If he didn't come yesterday, perhaps today. And that's true. And I hope before I'm finished tonight, I can make that emphasis. I'll say it in advance. Theoretically, we're not looking for the undertaker. Now, at my age, I guess you might say, don't you have any sense? Don't you know how old you are? No, we're looking for the upper taker. Maybe you've heard that expression. We're not looking for the undertaker. We're looking for the upper taker. And that is our blessed hope. I'm going to read about it in just a moment. And I trust tonight that is your hope. And I'm not going to say anything new to you tonight. I don't know, Ironsides had said, if it's new, it's not true. Because it has to come from the book. It has to come from the Scripture. I don't mean all our words. No. I'd have quit a long time ago. But I add a lot of words and talk a lot. I talk too much sometimes. I know that. I pull my own chain and I don't know when to stop. But I'm going to ask you to start. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I will read tonight verses 11 through 15. And verse 13 is the one I'm after. I think I preached from this some years ago here at Morrow Bible Church. I'm pretty sure I did. But it was more on something else that is said here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Is that true? Well, sure, it's true. It's stated. But does it mean what we think it does? The grace of God has been made available all around this world. I don't know that every last human being has heard the gospel. I kind of doubt that. I don't think that's what it's saying. But God has brought salvation to all. And by the way, ladies, I go to nursing homes a lot. And when I'm speaking there, I usually say, when it says men, that's including the women also. In the Greek, when there's a plural, the sons, it's referring to the daughters also. And God has daughters. I want to assure you, ladies, of that. Sometimes you can get the feeling, well, it's a man's world. Sometimes I think it's a woman's world. But at any rate, the ladies are involved. And they can be just as Christian and just as much as a witness as any man could ever be. And so I want to assure you that, ladies. Teaching. All right. It's appeared to all men, teaching us, and this is what I preached on before, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Here's what I'm after. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. A peculiar people. I think sometimes we Christians are considered peculiar, but that's not what this word means here. We are God's very own people. That's basically the meaning behind that Greek word. And I guess maybe back in the days when the King James Bible was put together, that peculiar meant closer to that word. And so, how it's used then and how it is used today. Have you ever heard of the Granville Sharp rule? Granville Sharp, anybody? Don't tell me I'm going to be the first one to talk about it. It's a rule in Greek grammar. And it says this: if two nouns are joined by chi, K-A-I, those are English letters for Greek kappa, alpha, iota, which can be translated and, even, or also. It's usually and in the New Testament, but once in a while it would be also or even. If two nouns are joined by chi and preceded by just one definite article, and that is the, there are no a's or ands in Greek. They're not there. In English we have them. But in Greek there are definite articles. And sometimes this begins to create some difficulties in interpretation and thinking, I guess. I've had it in my home the last couple of weeks, not every day, because it's a missionary couple that I met years ago. He was a Columbus policeman, retired, and went to the mission field. He and his wife. They're great people. They have given so much. They went to Ecuador. He wants to go back. I found out why he was kicked out. And I'm going to tell you the story that he told me. He was at the office where you get your visa, permanent visa or temporary or whatever it was. And I don't know what that would be called down in Ecuador. He had a temporary visa and he was applying for a permanent one and he was granted that. Or maybe the family, because he has two sons, and eventually they're going to wind up down there as missionaries also with him if he gets to do what he wants to do. But anyway, he said, this is temporary, therefore I probably should need another one. Oh, no. The permanent's going in. It might be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before he would get it. No problem. About 6 days later, they told him to get out of the country because he didn't have a proper visa. Now, does that make any sense to you? Was that man lying or was he waiting on a bribe? Down in some of those countries, third world countries, maybe that's how they make their living. I don't know. I've been in Mexico. We went to Israel and stopped by in Greece and stopped by in Jordan. I have been to Canada years ago when you didn't have to have some kind of a pass to get in. We used to go to Michigan a lot. I never knew why he'd been booted out of the country. I assumed it was because he refused to give a bribe. And I keep forgetting to ask him. And I told my guest, or my host today, a host and hostess, I think I told him that anyway, that I need to ask him that, but I keep forgetting it. Because I'm assuming that, and that you can't always do that. But anyway, getting back to Granville Sharp, you have two of them here in this verse. Again, two nouns joined by and with just one definite article, they are referring to the same thing. And I called Lou Beeler Jr., who has his PhD now, because he will kind of head up the Bible Institute that his dad, Lou Sr., wants to start down there. That makes a lot of sense to me. They need a place, just like the Bible Institute of Ohio. We didn't amount to much, but we did train a few people. And the Beelers happened to be one of those families. And that's the only training they got beyond high school, as far as I know. How good a job we did, I don't really know. But I from listening to them, I guess they found it quite acceptable and thought it was pretty good. But at any rate, what are those two nouns? I could have given you an illustration. I called his son because he has a lot better grasp of Greek than I do. And I'm going to ask him about present tense participles. He groaned. He said, oh, I don't like to deal with that. Well, a participle is a participle in any language. Usually in English, it's an ing on the end, and that tells you it's a participle, not a. It's a verb. It's a verbal form, as you probably all know. And this is a present tense verb, that looking, and that's what I was interested in. Does the Greek verbs are not about past, present, and future, but about action, and the present tense is continuing action. If something is in the present tense, it's something that is going on, or it's right now, it's available, or it's going on. And he got a book, or I don't know what he had out, because I was talking to him over the phone. He's back in Arkansas, where they live now. And he chatted about that a while, and I think I came away satisfied that I can tell you that I think that looking is something that we can be doing right now, today, tomorrow, the next day, and on. It's something that we keep looking for. That much I want to say. I got that out to you. Now, we're looking for a blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing are the same thing. That's what it means, the Granville Sharp rule. And the second one is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One and the same thing. That is an emphasis on the deity of Christ. I mean, it's plainly the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure you don't have a problem with the deity of Christ. I don't. Because if he ain't, we ain't either. It's that simple. How could a mere man die for all your sins and my sins? Can you tell me that? How? How could he die? And I'm not a five-point Calvinist. I'm kind of a bit of a Calvinist, but not a five-pointer. I do believe that when Christ died, he died for every last person that's ever lived and ever will live. That means the lost as well as the saved. Elect from the foundation of the world. I believe that because that's what the Bible teaches. I think I told you this morning, I don't know that I grasp totally what that means. I understand the words, yes. But I find it hard to take it in, except our God is not an ordinary stick or stone. He is the Almighty God that created this whole universe, extends out beyond anything we can imagine or grasp. When they talk about light years, light traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second, how many light years are out? It boggles my mind. It does. That takes a great God to do that. I think he did a pretty magnificent job in this world. But sin has kind of marred it. I see everywhere where the law is against people throwing trash out. They do it, don't they? They mar the appearance of the countryside. Or your yard sometimes. If there's anybody here that owns a McDonald's or a Wendy's or something like that, I'm not blaming you folks for the trash in my yard, but it's places like that that you get the takeout, and people, as they're going home, throw it down wherever they are, as if the whole place is their wastebasket. I kind of resent that. Now, you folks are too nice. You don't. That probably doesn't bother you. You pick it up and throw it away yourself. I have ideas about people like that. which maybe are not the right kind of ideas. But they irritate me. They irritate me. But that's so much of the world today. God made that garden a beautiful, wonderful place. And I don't think it lasted very long. My son-in-law's father and I got in a little debate about this once upon a time. And I think I was right, but he wasn't willing to give up. Because he thought it was a long time, maybe hundreds of years. They had a child, when you go into the next chapter, after they were out of the garden. And I have a hunch that 9 months was a time of gestation then as well as now. And I can't believe they lived there for hundreds of years without any children. You say, you got a dirty, nasty mind. No, I don't. That's God's order and God's creation, you see. All of us are here because we have a mother and a father. I happen to have two fathers. But just one biological father, but a stepfather also. So that's what I want to start with. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing are one and the same thing. And the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, one and the same thing. And I've already said that is a present tense participle, so the looking. That says right now and ongoing. You and I can be looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing. Now, we're going to get to some other passages tonight. But that is our daily hope. Not government. Not the governor. That's government. Not anything else in this present world that it offers. Everything in this present world is going to be passing off the scene someday. I don't know when. It'll pass off the scene. God will remain. His people will remain. And I don't know what else there will be. We'll have a new heaven and a new earth, the book of Revelation. No more sea. I can't grasp that either. I mean, I know what it says, but I can't imagine. This earth with no more sea? I can't. Lake Erie. I get to see that now occasionally because there's a certain person I go up there to see once in a while. And that almost looks like an ocean. Because you can't see the other side. I mean, I stood by an ocean and you can't see the other side, but it keeps going on and on and on. Well, that goes, but they call them the Great Lakes for a good reason. They're not tiny little lakes. They are great. So that is our daily hope. Only God is eternal and the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Now, Jesus in John 14 said this, "Let not your heart be troubled." Do you have troubled hearts sometimes? Come to Jesus. "Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house," and my mother loved this, "are many mansions." She never owned a house in this present world. She always wanted her own house. She never had it. There's a story behind that, and I'm good at telling stories, but I'm not going to say any more about that. But she liked that mansion. Now, you've been told by some preacher, your present pastor or former pastor or whatever, that means abiding place or rooms or something like that. Is that correct? Or has he stuck with mansion? I'm not getting any response, so I'll just go on. I like the idea of a mansion, too. "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." And that sounds pretty good. I live in a fairly nice house, but it's not a mansion. And I think that whatever God's building for us... See, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that's 2,000 years ago. What kind of place is that he's building? It must be magnificent. It must be tremendous. Now, am I too simple-minded? Maybe so. But that's kind of how I think, you see. it must be an outstanding place. Let's see, the rest of that goes on to say, I almost have to start from the beginning to go through it. I could just open my Bible up and read it. But he said, let not your heart believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, some translations read a little different there, but it comes out about the same. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again. If it were not so, I would have told you. And the way you know, and Thomas spoke up and said, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, is that arrogant? That's what a lot of people think. That Christians are arrogant because they're sure of their... Well, not all Christians are sure of their salvation. But if you've been taught right, you are sure that eternal life is eternal life. Oh, but I had an uncle that said, if I believe that, I could do anything. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. I don't want to go out and just do any old sin. Sin, sin, sin. No, I'm sorry. That's not how a Christian can or should or wants to live if they really know Christ as personal Savior. My uncle and I didn't talk much about things like that. I'll not tell you the kind of church he went to, but they would be Bible-believing people, but they have some different interpretations of things. But eternal life is just that. When I was a student pastor, and that had to be from age 20 to 26, I guess, but the first one, I was there 4 years in my denomination. They needed guys like me to fill those churches out in the country, just about like this, not quite as big as this. And the conference wanted to close those churches, but the people didn't want that. So young fellows like me at the age of 20, can you imagine a 20-year-old being your pastor? What did I know? Not much of anything. But I preached eternal security based on 1 John 5:13. Because it says, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. That's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? And that you may believe, if you go on and finish the verse. But that you can know, that's arrogance. We don't know until we die. Well, it's too late then. It's way too late. If you got to wait till you die to know whether you're going to heaven or elsewhere, that shows you how naive I am, you see. I just took the Bible plainly for what it said. And the Bible speaks of eternal life. Now, this is called a blessed hope. Why is it called a hope? Have you ever talked to somebody about their relationship with the Lord, or however you want to put it? And they might respond, are you going to heaven? I hope so. Some of you may have had that experience. I hope so. Well, they don't know. They don't have the slightest idea. But they hope so. Well, that's not what we're talking about. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 8. If you want to go with me, you're welcome to do that. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start reading at verse 18. Romans 8:18. See, this is a Southern Bible. For I reckon, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or that could be translated creation, katisis, is the Greek word, waiteth for the manifestation or the showing forth of the sons of God. And that would include the daughters as well. For the creature, and I think creation would be a better translation there. Say, what are you doing, correcting the King James? No, I'm just telling you what I think would be a better word to give you the idea. the creature itself, or the creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, now there's the same word, translated creation here. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, and they is in italics. You could put an it there and it means the same thing. But ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting, oh, we're waiting for something. For the adoption to it, that's in italics also, there's nothing there for that, but knowing the redemption of our body. I have a hunch that you're in the same body now that you were in when you were saved. Anybody here say, no, that's not true? You're in the same. I am, and so are you. You see, our salvation is not complete. Now, I'm going to go on and read. For we were saved by hope. I hope so? No. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? In other words, it's something in our grasp already. So we don't hope for it, we've got it. Oh, I wish I had a chocolate milkshake. Oh, there it is. There in my hand. Now, I got it. I don't have to hope for it. We're going to go to a couple other passages. But this is why it's called a hope. Because our salvation is just as finished as it ever will be. I've got the salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the home in heaven. I've got it, but I don't have it yet, do I? And you don't either. And my body is the same body, so he talks about the redemption of the body. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to end up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It talks about a change taking. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's going to be a change. We don't have that. So therefore, that is our hope. We don't see it yet. We don't have it. Does that make sense? You understand that? I'm not getting much response out of you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm not chastising you. I don't mean that. But and you people don't know me very well, I guess, or some of you do. Maybe that's why you're not responding. We know you, and you'd pick on us. No, I wouldn't do that. But that's why it is called a hope. Our salvation is now complete, and as far as our eternal life is concerned, we have it. Right now, you have eternal life if you're in Christ. But we don't have all that goes with that. And that's why it's called a hope, a blessed hope. There's a passage in Philippians. He who hath begun a good work in you will, I forget the King James word now, but complete it in the day of Christ. In the day of Christ. He will complete, he will finish that work that he's begun in us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He will perform. That's the word. I did write that down here. He will perform it. That means he will complete it. He will complete it. Now, I want to go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Which says this to us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Have you ever tried to talk to people sometime about the things of the Lord, and they look at you like you're crazy or nuts? They did that with Christ. They put him through, well, I don't know if grief is the right word, but they ignored, they rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to them that received him, To them he gave the right to become the sons of God. The Jews, his own people, the promises were there. He did enough miracles to convince them that he was the Messiah. But the religious hierarchy would have lost their jobs if he was the Messiah. That's an awful thing for you to say, Pastor. You know, it's the truth. And they couldn't refute what he said. They tried to trick him. Oh, more than once. But one day, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? And if there were Roman soldiers standing by, he couldn't say, no, you shouldn't do that. Or if he said yes, he would offend the Jews. Show me a denarius. Whose image is on it? Caesar. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. He shut him up. They couldn't say anything. I wish I had that kind of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I don't. I'm not even close. I'm not even close. It knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, the glorious appearing from Titus 2:13, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Which is the language you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So the day will come when we see Jesus, and we'll be made like him. A body that seemingly, look, it went up against gravity. It seemed to be able to come through a locked door without any hindrance. He could appear, and their eyes were holding the two men on the road to Emmaus. And in the breaking of bread, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. I can't even imagine that body. I can't. I get to thinking sometimes. I haven't even seen the Grand Canyon in this great country. I'd like to see that before I die, but as Carl Johnson used to say, I'll see it on the way up. And maybe that's how I'll see it someday, the Grand Canyon. But I've seen pictures, and it's just magnificent. And to me, it is a testimony to the worldwide flood. And there are some geologists, there are usually Christian geologists, that say that. But not this world's geologists. And they say, no, the slow erosion of the Colorado River. And if you've ever seen it, that's one big hole in the ground. It takes millions of years. And, of course, that's what they posit. Millions of years. Because anything can happen given enough time. We can even become a person from a fish if you have enough time to change. And so, I'm sorry, I don't have enough faith to believe that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He also made us as we are. Not us at that time. We came along according to his creation later. So we shall be changed. Now, I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians. This is probably the best place to go for what I've been talking about. We call it the rapture. That's not even a biblical word, is it? And I have to say, no, it isn't, but neither is Trinity. And there are people who believe in the Trinity, they don't believe in the rapture. But they don't have, but it takes all kinds to make a world, that's for sure. I'll start reading verse 13. And I'm sure you're very familiar with this. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Apparently, there were people there, had loved ones who were saved and are now dead. Are they going to miss out on the promises that Christ made? And so Paul is writing to correct something here. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, there's a sense in which my wife's body buried in Lima or outside of Lima, Ohio, and my name is on a marker there. The only thing missing is the date of my departure. But again, if I believe the Bible, there's a chance that it's the upper Savior that will take me before that. That'd be fine with me. Otherwise, the undertaker will take me, and I'll probably wind up there unless they throw me out someplace. We used to joke and say, just throw me in the backyard. That's good enough. Didn't mean it. But that's the point. That's the point. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, wait a minute. My wife is buried up there. How can he bring? Soul and spirit. The real you. The real you lives in this house, this body. See, I'm not telling you anything new. This is all old. You know every bit of it. You've been taught this. I hope that you have a little more hope, maybe, after tonight. But the soul and the spirit. There was a Jehovah's Witness family. It came up my driveway. It was fall or early spring. It was kind of cool out there. They were dressed for it. I wasn't. But I saw them coming, and I just waited out there for them to come up my drive and talk to me, and they did. And I don't know, there's some pleasantries, but he said, does the Trinity make any sense to you? And I said, no. That's an awful answer, isn't it? Does the Trinity make any sense to you? No. I believe it because the Bible teaches it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was talking to a Muslim one time. He said, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. I said, yes, but 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. And he majored in math, so he knew the concept very well. And the subject was changed about the Trinity. But we talked for about 2 hours. And I've talked with others who reject, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the soul. They don't believe in a soul. Well, what is it that departs this body and makes us dead? Got to be something. Old life. The blood quits flowing. The heart quits beating. Yeah, those are all physical manifestations of this present body. But the personality, what you are, what I am, there's something on the inside of me. That's that soul and spirit. I've done a study on soul and spirit. You see, there are tripartites and dipartites. Some people say the soul and spirit are one and the same. There are two verses of Scripture that list all three of them together, and that's enough for me to be a tripartite and believe that there is a separation in the soul and the spirit. And to say it frankly, I think it is the spirit which has to be made alive that gives us God communication, God connection. Animals, back in the creation of animals, it speaks of a soul, a nephesh. It's not the Greek word, but it's the Hebrew word. So apparently, and animals do reflect some kind of personality, do they not? Even cats. We had a cat for 18 years. That was interesting. He ran the house, or so he thought. Dogs, you can train. Cats, I don't think you can, unless... I saw a cat today, so I know there was a cat in the house. I didn't sneeze. I didn't do anything, you know. I just recognized that's a cat. I had one for 18 years. A gift to my wife, who was a school teacher at the time. That's another story. And I had this Jehovah's Witness couple, and I allowed them into the house. It's the only Jehovah's Witnesses I've ever allowed in the house. And we chatted, we talked. And the last time he was there, I said, who are those souls in Revelation chapter 6 who are crying out to God, when are you going to avenge us? He said, I don't know, I'll find out. He died in the meantime. His widow, along with another lady, came back months later because they didn't show up for a long time. And they were coming with some regularity. I don't know if he ever found an answer. I don't think he did. I think the only answer he could come up with is, well, those aren't souls. We don't believe in a soul. But what are you going to do with it? There's something there. There's something there. So that's what God is going to bring with him. That soul and spirit. Don't ask me how. I don't know. But he can do it. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, and you've been told, that's the idea of going before. Literally, that's what it says. And prevent, preventio would be before to come before, I guess. If you take the Latin there, it's English, but I think it probably comes from Latin. We shall not prevent, or we shall not go before them which are asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you all know why. They've got 6 feet farther to go. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the air. Not on this earth, but in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And this is used at funerals, but it's good to use it in church and for yourself. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, my wife and I will not have a wife and a husband relationship in eternity. We'll be like the angels. Again, I haven't been there. She knows more about it than I do right now. But I am inclined to think we'll know each other. But the relationship will be we'll all be brothers and sisters, and we're all kinfolk in that heavenly land. And we'll ever be with the Lord. We, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them, those who went before us, the dead in Christ. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. One other passage, I am a pre-tribulation rapturist. There's pre, mid, and post. I'm pre. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not appointed. You see, the wrath that I deserve was poured out on him. And you and I can stand in the presence of God, who is holy without sin. Why? Because he imputes to us his righteousness. He gives it to us. He took my wrath. He took your wrath. Only God could take the wrath of every single human being that has ever lived and could be saved and thus be in the presence of God. But this is why we need to be changed, because I can still have evil thoughts come in my mind. But someday when I see Christ face to face, this body will be transformed. That sinful nature that I got from Adam and Eve, I don't know if it's taken away or it's all clean, or I don't know. But I know this. Romans chapter 7, Paul struggled with what he should do and what he shouldn't do. I've often wondered, was that a one-time event? Or has that happened more than once in Paul's life? I'm afraid with George, it's happened more than once. I don't know about Paul. He just... But he talks about this. And if you know your Bibles, you're familiar. I'm not going to go there. But we have not been appointed to wrath. And I could go elsewhere, but that's enough. That's enough for me to believe that Christ is going to come someday in the air, he also is going to come to this earth. According to the Old Testament prophecy, his feet are going to land on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split. And you know, if you know the passage, you know what it says. I'm not going to say any more about it. But he is going to sit as a king, and he is the only one that I know of that can fulfill the promise that God made to David, that a son of his would rule forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a son of David by Mary, his mother, whose genealogy appears in Luke's gospel. Matthew's gospel, and I've already taken more time than I should probably. I wasn't paying any attention to that clock up there. But he is the blind man. Son of David. How do they know that? But they called him Son of David. They must have recognized that he was the Messiah. He was the king that was to rule. But thank God, God had a plan for a body we call the church. Not this building, but human beings, people. You're the church. At Westerville now, they've kind of changed the name of the building to the Ministry Center. I kind of chuckle at that. That's the ministry. It's fine. It's good. I still refer to it as the church building. But the real church are the people that gather, just like here. We are the body of Christ. That is the church of the living God. And the day is coming when he's going to transform us, change us into his likeness, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with those words. I trust tonight that is your blessed hope. I would have a hunch that all of you know Christ as Savior, or you probably wouldn't be back tonight. But that is your blessed hope. That's my blessed hope. And God help us. Even though this coronavirus comes in with a worse wave than before, or whatever it is, I personally think things are going to get worse before they get better. I hope I'm wrong. I do. I hope I'm wrong. But I need a blessed hope. And the coming of the Lord, the appearing of the Lord, different words are used. That's it. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank thee for the privilege of trying to teach thy word, preach thy word. I pray, Father, that what I've said will make sense, will encourage and bless. I pray for this local church. Lord, I pray that they will see thy hand upon them, and they will recognize that they are the people of God that can minister in this area. I thank thee for the pastors, Pastor Gossman, Pastor Howard. And I ask that thou would bless them, watch over them, keep them, preserve them, Lord. I know there are people in this community that think very highly of Pastor Gossman and probably Pastor Howard. But I know there are also some who probably hate their guts. And I ask that thou would keep them. And I pray that thou would keep this church ever as a church with an open Bible and a pastor who believes that book and teaches from that book. And that this people will demand that and want that always. So God, add your blessing in ways that I don't even know how to ask for. And we'll thank thee for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.